All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good afternoon, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of Canucks Conversation, a special trade deadline edition. We're here to break down all of the Canucks moves. Or lack thereof. I wrote this show description. All this show scheduling was done at about 11:20 a.m. And as you'll see in the description, it says we're here to break down everything the Canucks do. They didn't do very much. Dave Quadrelli alongside Patrick Johnson. I need to tell you that Canucks Conversation, as always, is brought to you by the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. It'll get you through a trade deadline where the Canucks made no moves. We are coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Patrick, you're typing away. Are you still talking about Tucker Pullman?
No. I'm writing up the thing that you want me to flex about.
Oh, yes, you need to flex. And the biggest non-move for the Canucks.
We'll right off the top. You asked me the other day, and I kind of gave you a hard time because you made me do an up-down yes-no answer.
And aren't you glad I did?
Yeah.
You should be saying
leadership.
Thank you, Quads. Go ahead.
Wise beyond his years. Well, Phil Kessel. I mean, that didn't end up getting signed. I asked Alvin about it. You know, in the end, there were a few things he listed, including LTIR. But also, what was it? The way we want to play. We all picked up on it.
Full quote from Alvin. I have it right here because I tweeted it out. The full quote from Patrick Alvin when he was asked about Phil Kessel. I think Phil is a great person and a well-respected player with what he's done in the league, a three-time Stanley Cup winner. He wanted to come back and play with LTIR, roster complications, and how we want to play. It unfortunately wasn't a fit for us. Of course, the Canucks brought Phil Kessel out here. He's been working out in Abbotsford for the past 3 weeks. Did not work out. No signing to report ahead of today's deadline, which would have, they had to get the signing done because it would have made him playoff eligible, but they do not sign Phil Kessel.
Yeah. And in the end, I think it came back to that way we want to play. I mean, whether, you know, whether it was fitness or fit or whatever. I mean, he mentioned cap, all these other things. They could have signed him.
Yeah.
There was cap space to sign him. There was, you know, they could have had him. They would have had to probably, I mean, surely they would have sent him on a conditioning loan. They wouldn't have just put him right in the NHL, but point is moot. The other one is, as I mentioned, I followed Patrick Alvin after the press conference because he kept talking about LTI.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about this right now?
No, not yet.
You want to save it?
Okay. I don't think you've done enough to take a victory lap, because for those that don't know, The other day, what happened, it was during anyone else, which will come up later. Got a lot of new listeners on the show today. It was during anyone else, and someone asked, do the Canucks sign Phil Kessel? And I've given my take. I thought they were going to sign him. I was just guessing. And then I asked you, and you said, no, I don't think so. And then everybody threw it out on Twitter that...
You're the only one.
Yeah, you're the only one saying he's not going to sign. And people saying, oh, Patrick Johnson reported. And then people calling into question your integrity, all that
sort of
stuff.
Is this sourced?
Yeah, is this sourced?
Twitter's wonderful, isn't it?
Well, anyways, I just don't think you've done enough of a victory lap.
It was sourced. And you talk to people. That's my job.
You also haven't thanked me yet.
Thank you, David.
Okay, perfect. Now we can move on.
Can we change your name to Jim and then it'd be really funny?
Yes, exactly. Your conversation with Patrick Galvin about Tucker Coleman.
Conversation.
It's Canucks conversation.
We talked to Patrick Galvin for quite a while. And then I was sitting there. And this is, this is how it gets made or not made. I'm sitting in the press conference. He keeps talking about LTI. And I'm like, oh, wait, I have a question. And so I get the mic ready to go, and I don't know what happened. I blanked. All of a sudden, listening to, I think it was Gemma Carson-Smith. Welcome back.
Her triumphant return.
Gemma's asking her question, and I just started blanking, and I couldn't remember what I wanted to ask. So I said, oh, well, and I handed the bike back, and that was the end of the press conference. And then I'm walking out of the room, and all of a sudden remembered what it was.
I was with you when you remembered.
So I decided to reach out to Alvin, see if he would say something further. I said, listen, here was a question I meant to ask, and I forgot. Now I've remembered it. What was the question? And I said, you've talked a lot about LTI. Have you considered or have you explored moving Tucker Pullman's contract? Of course, he's under contract for another year. He is the reason they are in LTI.
Yeah. Right. $2.5 million this season and next season.
They've found ways to shove his contract completely off the books. So they've been able to manage around it, but they have not been able to accrue cap space, as he pointed out. Because if you are in LTI, you cannot accrue cap space. So, you know, conceivably, there would have been days this season where they would have been like $1 million under the cap. And that adds up and that lets you do things. And there was clearly moves that he wanted to make that he couldn't make because of retention issues, what have you. So in the end, I said that and he replied and he said, yes.
So they have looked at moving Tucker Pullman.
Yeah, they have looked. They've tried all kinds of stuff. I think that shows you the sort of extent to which they did try to make things happen. You know, obviously there were all the noise about the three-way trades and what have you, which, you know, this is a team that I think has wanted to be aggressive, but has been limited by choices made before, choices of their own making, because of course the OEL buyout starting next year, the penalty for that will be their own choice, but they've also brought players in. They've got things to manage around. But the Pullman one sits there, and that's going to be, I mean, it's not a huge issue right now. It is an issue, I suppose, if you want to understand this week. But going forward, it's going to be a question I think we're going to be looking at again.
I really wish his response to you was, no, actually, I didn't know I could do that. Thank you. And then first day they're allowed to make trades, Tucker Pullman gets moved.
Yeah,
so. That would have been very special. Yeah. That would have been different gym. Okay, let's tell you that this segment is brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Brewing, family owned and operated in Delta, home to the Four Winds Light Lager, a crisp, clean, and easy drinking beer, a beer for everyone, a perfect beer for before, after, or during the game, or after the trade deadline when the Canucks did not make any moves. Ask for Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store or have some delivered right to your door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Or if you're Farhan Lalji, just crack one open and spray it all over the place.
Yeah.
Little inside baseball there. That was in the studio last night.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Neither were you.
No. My take on that is so Farhan got really excited about the win over Vegas and cracked it open. Okay. What do we have here? Okay, I want to talk about the other trades as well. Not yet. I want to talk more about the Canucks' moves or the lack thereof. And during Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube later in the show, I'm going to talk about the Canucks not making moves. Like the moves that they didn't make being almost as valuable as the moves they could have made. Keyword there is almost, because I would have liked to see them make at least one move. Yeah. And of course, we're going to get down to the moves that were made by other teams. Obviously, the last one, Thomas Hertl, now in Vegas. And like 3 weeks ago, excuse me, I asked Frank Cervalli who the worst GM in the league was. And he said, unequivocally, it was Jarmo Kekalainen. Maybe it was more than 3 weeks. Said unequivocally Jarmo Kekalainen. And then I said, who's the second worst? And he said Mike Greer. And I was like, come on. I thought that was a little harsh. He was 100% right. Frank was ahead of his time. Mike Greer right now is the worst GM in the National Hockey League.
What about Craig Conroy?
Oh, he hasn't had the greatest start, but I don't know. At least there's some sort of direction there. Like, well, there's Okay.
Mike Greer inherited a bit of a mess. Like, okay. He was not, like, let's go back. Let's just start. Here, hold up.
Okay.
He was not the guy that signed Thomas Hurdle, was he?
No.
Right? Like, to me, the original error of where the Sharks are at was re-signing Thomas Hurdle when they did. It made no sense. I said it at the time. And yes, there were still a lot of legs, and he still's got a lot of legs in him. But Thomas Hurdle, who is now a Vegas Golden Knight, was signed to a deal on a team that clearly was, like, on the downslope.
Yeah.
And the idea that it made any sense to keep a player who was probably at the prime of his value when they did just wasn't the right move. So listen, the Sharks have been behind the eight ball for a long, long time. Getting off the Carlson contract, probably the right move. Getting on the Carlson move contract, probably not the right move. Yeah. You know, like, there's a few things. There's obviously things that have happened there. I think I have a hard time judging what Greer has done until the end. I'm not going to argue with Frank because Frank deals with, you know, watches this much higher level. I would just say that the thing that I do think there's context necessary there. It's a bit of a mess. There's a lot of GMs in the end who I think don't know what they're doing. And if I could pivot, no matter what you think of what Patrick Helvin did today, I do think the message is clear. And that's why I asked him about the Pettersson signing. You know, that changed. That really did change. They didn't, you know, they don't, they, that changed what they're trying to do, right? They're, that put something down firm. A week ago, they didn't know what they were going to do, right? They didn't know what they were going to do beyond this year, right? They weren't sure if Pettersson was going to be here. That changed the way they were thinking. They had to consider, do we just push all the chips in with the possibility that this might be our only season with Pettersson, that we have created, that we're in a Tkachuk scenario?
Yeah.
They're not. They now have, I mean, he joked an 8-year window. It's a 3-year window because that's how long Quinn Hughes' current contract runs for. They know at least for the next 3 years what their core is going to be.
Yes.
And so that's what he thinks about now. And that's what he was referencing. I mean, he did talk about LTI and the challenges that they have. He clearly wishes he were in a position where he was accruing cap space, which is why I followed up about the Pullman thing, because you get the Pullman contract off the books and you're accruing cap space. You can make other moves. You can add wingers that you would like to add. Even if you don't have a ton of picks to work with. Like, they didn't have a ton of picks to work with, but there were still things they could have done, but they obviously couldn't because of contracts. So he made it clear that there were, you know, I mean, I don't even think he's overvaluing. Some might say he's overvaluing the own prospects he has, but he's recognized saying, we have some hurdles coming up that we need to get over, like the OEL bio penalty, mm-hmm. You know, that they're going to lean on Willander and Lekkerimäki, and perhaps even Elias Pettersson. The other one.
Yeah.
DPD.
Yeah.
Elias Pettersson, the younger, whatever you want to call him.
This is basically all of my under the hood editorial.
Yeah. But well, you're welcome. That's why I'm here.
That's right.
Co-host.
Thank you, Patrick.
In the end, this is where they're at. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's trying to say. And so now, you know, the pressure's on. Like, he believes in his team. Credit to him. His team's played really well, better than I think even Canucks management expected they'd play. They played really well this week. They showed again what they've been good at this year. Look how good they played defensively. They've got Dakota Joshua coming back.
Carson
Soucy has been exact. I mean, the impact that Carson Soucy has made has been exactly, in the end, we've, I think, realized in his absence what it's meant, especially the last month.
Yeah.
So this is a team that's positioned itself in a good place. And now he can start thinking going forward. You know, you're not, you know what your core is. Now it's figuring out the mix around the edges, and can they build this into a contender for several years, not just this year.
Harmon and I have talked about this many times, and it'll be in under the hood, but that is the Canucks path to keeping this thing moving in the right direction and staying kind of at that level that they're at right now. We're around the playoff conversation at the very least, is guys coming in on ELCs and making an impact, but we'll get to that later. I don't want to talk more about Mike Greer. Oh, we'll talk about anyone else because people are asking questions about Mike Greer. So we'll talk about it later in anyone else. The one thing I did want to talk about, Patrick, was the decision that the Canucks made to not make any moves.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Ovechkin cited a few things. Like, I know we're talking about Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
He also cited the 3-game road trip, right? He cited that a few times. And he did it in the context.
It was interesting because I went and looked at, like, Farhan asked him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, we tried not to think too much specific. I mean, I think they looked at it in the sense that it confirmed what they already knew.
Yes.
It didn't make them concerned about.
Tell
me what you want to say.
He spoke about the in-season pickups of Lafferty, Zadorov, and Lindholm. Right. I was happy with that. Talked about Susie coming back. Joshua, obviously, in 10 days to 2 weeks. And then he also said only giving up 3 goals on the road trip was what he said. He didn't say the wins. He just said only giving up 3 goals on the road trip. But that was the answer to the question about why they didn't make moves. Farhan asked another question after.
Okay.
But the original question of why didn't your team make moves, that's what he cited. Was Susie coming back, only giving up 3 goals on the road trip, how they're defending. Yeah. Younger players in Abbotsford. He brought up Philip Johansson as depth, which I just wholeheartedly disagree with.
I mean, it's like asking questions about Abbotsford. There's certain people have certain expectations.
Yeah, and the other thing, like, I really like Patrick Alvin, but, like, citing Jet Wu as depth. Like, he's like, well, Jet Wu's been up here. He didn't play.
No.
Jet Wu's not playoff depth.
No. But anyway.
I get it. But I'm
An endorsement to me. What it was more than anything was an endorsement of the players he has.
That's like, absolutely valid.
And saying, listen, I mean, I didn't ask him because he kind of ended up saying, if you're selling to fans, what is it? What is your position on what, you know, what are you selling this? Sell the no move. And he did in the end, which was that, listen, we're really happy with where we're at, but we also know that we can do more stuff later. Like, we don't have to do it now, which is why I asked the question I did. Like, I'm not under any pressure to do things I don't want to do right now under, you know, to pay a price I don't want to pay. Because you're right. Like, most of the prospects he listed, you know, it seemed like he implied that Atu Ratu and Max Sasson and Archie Baines and Vasily Colton were all players that got asked about or got mentioned in trade discussions. None of those guys is going to, like, I mean, but Colton maybe, but the other three are not, like, really going to move the meter of your team, other than that they are cost controlled and they're depth players who could hit, you know, in that third, fourth line that you need, like, where you need to have your best cost control. But in the end, he's also like, listen, I mean, I guess he told 650 that they're going to try to resign Filip Hronek, like, which is no surprise, but they've made an offer, right? Like, they're now thinking about where do we go? What's next? We didn't have to do this right now. Cause like he's right. They're first in the league. Now Vegas loaded up. Vegas did what they always do. I mean, smartly, because you thought that they're wounded, right? Like, they didn't play great. They won twice in their last 11, I think. Is that right? Like,
also losses to some really bad teams.
Yeah, and like, they're Columbus, and repeating is really hard, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing. So, you know, absolutely. I mean, I am surprised they didn't get anyone. I thought maybe they would add some kind of depth forward. Maybe they would add some kind of depth defenseman. Like, Chad Ruedel was a guy we'd mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, he ended up going to New York, and would have fit easily here under the cap, but they have what they have. They're going to go forward. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Ilya Mikheyev had a strong game. That was not a reason cited by Patrick Alvin, but there was people on Twitter wondering if this 3-game road trip, the success that the Canucks had, would make them want to go all in. It seems to have had the opposite effect. Like, it seems to have made them say, you know what? We're comfortable. And honestly, like, I know I was talking about not loving the answer about depth that they have. Honestly, I don't hate the logic that, you know what, we played well in that 3-game road trip, because it's not just coming at, look at this past 3 games we played, which we might have seen the past management regime say, right? It's like, look how good we've been at the end of the season. It's coupled with the fact that they were that good at the start of the year, and that you can now kind of view February as a hiccup.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, the other thing too is that the other thing you can say about that, that I do quibble a little bit in similar terms, is that idea, well, if they traded for Zadorov and Lindholm and Lafferty today.
Yeah.
People would be, but I'm like, you know what? I don't, which is also kind of Alvin's point. He's like, he didn't actually go and say, I've already made those trades. I mean, he could have done that, as he's done in the past. Well, you know, it feels like we got 3 first rounders.
Totally.
He didn't actually take that angle, which was that he wanted to do something.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't go turn around and say, well, you know, he didn't actually spin it. He said, I wanted to do something. I wanted to add to this team. I thought this team deserved to have a little more. But in the end, I have to look at next year and the year after that and where we're going and all the things that they need to do. You know, they want to keep Filip Hronek. We'll see what happens with Lindholm, right? Like they're going to make decisions in the summer. They're going to probably end up changing. I mean, we want to talk about roster construction. I mean, they have decisions to make with, like, Brock Besser. Like, what are they going to do with Brock Besser next year? Things like that. But for now, the team that he has, he's pretty happy with it. And they showed well. They like competed well. They beat two teams that, you know, they have a stand a good chance of lining up against in the playoffs. And they played very well against them, especially in the light of how badly they played. I mean, everything they did wrong against LA last week at home, they eliminated from their game this week. Now, of course, that could happen and you could get a bad run. But the point is that they figured out how to fix their problems and they carried on. I mean, it was a big picture metaphor of what the small picture thing that Tuckett said last night was that they made mistakes and then they were able to move on. They didn't compound the mistakes. And I mean, it again, in contrast, you want to take metaphors, contrast that with previous regime. Previous regime kept compounding their mistakes.
Yes. Right?
They'd sign the wrong guy, then they'd do this other thing. They ended up in LTI. They were constantly piling on. Well, maybe this will work. Maybe that'll work. They stopped doing, like, this regime hasn't been doing that. Yep. They have had some misfires. Like, there's no doubt about that. Right. Like, but they also, I mean, Ilya Mikheyev right now, I think probably looks like a misfire. They didn't expect him to be this bad. Was he worth 4 years? Not so sure he ever was worth 4 years. That I would count as a misfire. But on the whole, they've made more smart and shrewd and adept moves.
Also not scared to move off of their mistakes.
Yeah.
Andrei Kuzmenko comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let's get into the other moves that were made today in the context of ones that impact the Canucks. This segment is brought to you by the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool Game. Wendy's is letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's is rewarding you with weekly prizes that will have you winning. Download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points in your first order and grab a sweet victory from the mouthwatering jaws of defeat along with some fresh, never frozen beef. Sign up to play the Daily Faceoff Fantasy Survivor Pool Game to win weekly prizes like the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Someone changed up my script.
Wasn't me.
It wasn't you. And it definitely wasn't Grady either. Anyways, okay, so I wanted to go over the moves that were made because one thing that Alvin said that interested me was that he didn't really feel like there were many quality players out there for the Canucks to go. Is that what he said? It was something along those lines?
I think he meant along the lines of there weren't a lot of quality players. I think he meant there's certainly a lot of players.
Yes,
it's what he does. It's I would say one of Alvin's charms, which is that he tries to kind of get the kind of, you know, we see it with Pettersson. It seems to be a Swedish trait, which to take a little dig, like to be a little, are you sure about that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he was just like, I don't know. I would say they were all quality players.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay, so the moves that impact the Canucks.
Yeah.
Jordan Eberle signs an extension with the Seattle Kraken. Impacts them for a few reasons. Jordan Eberle is going to be in the division because he's going to be in Seattle. But also, this signaled the end of the Oilers' day. There was a lot of reports that the Oilers were chasing Jordan Eberle. And then I was listening to the Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Special, which had over 70,000 viewers.
Was that on
today.
The Game Plus Network?
I was on the Game Plus Network, Patrick. Thank you for asking. I was listening to that. And when that deal got signed, Frank Saravelli, friend of the show, said, to me, this is the end of the Oilers' day.
Pending They're Italian not citizen, Frank.
Saravelli. Pending Italian citizen, if you can just get Mario right. he said that was the end of their day. That meant a lot. That meant a lot to the Canucks because now the only moves the Oilers really made was go get Adam Henrique, Sam Carrick, and Troy Stetcher.
What an interesting piece of intel, by the way, to give out. Like, to signal to everyone else that we're done. Yeah. Right? Canucks didn't say that until, like, literally at the deadline.
Yeah.
You know, you could see it. I mean, I guess Durant got it first, but, you know, I texted, you know, someone there and they're like, nope. I'm like, so no news today? And they're like, nope.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, they're done, you know. But like, the Oilers going, you're exactly right, because certainly we know there are moves you sometimes try to make to keep the other team from getting guys. And you know, the moment you see someone like Matt Dumba go to Tampa, you're going, okay, like Matt Dumba going to Edmonton or going to Vegas or going to LA would have been a very different impact on the Canucks, but he's gone to the completely different conference.
Yeah.
You know, there were moves like that were very interesting. So
Tyler Toffoli, the biggest target of the day that remained, because obviously Jake Guentzel went to the Hurricanes last night. Tyler Toffoli goes to the Winnipeg Jets. He will not be in town when the Jets are in town facing the Canucks tomorrow night. Tyler Toffoli will not be here for that game, but he is going to be a member of the Winnipeg Jets as the New Jersey Devils flip him for a second and a third round pick. This was the one to me, Patrick, where I said, yeah, I wouldn't have mind the Canucks making that deal. I think I was pretty vocal about the fact that I would have liked to see Tyler Toffoli reunited with the Canucks. There's a fit there that we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he can play with Elias Pettersson, or he could play with Elias Pettersson. I think it's fair to question if he still could.
Right.
I personally think he could, but I digress. Patrick Alvin does not make the trade for Tyler Toffoli. This was one of the players that I kind of thought of and said, like, okay, there's probably a quality player. Wonder why they didn't make that
trade. I am surprised. I think the answer was what he told us, because I sat there and, you know, they couldn't have structured a trade for Toffoli the way Winnipeg did, because Winnipeg had a second rounder and moved up with this year's third rounder, right? Next year's second rounder, is that right?
Yep.
So they could have moved, like, the Canucks don't have, they could have moved next year's second rounder. They don't have the same value as a third rounder this year, but they could have said, well, we'll move you the alternate of whatever we move to Calgary, you know, in that conditional pick. But surely they would have had to add a current prospect. And like, you know, the list is not, There's the three top guys that Alvin listed that we know they do not want to move off of. They don't want to move off Willander. They don't want to move Karabaki, and they don't want to move off DPD. And then he mentions those other forwards. So maybe those forwards did come up, and they just said, in the end, we need these guys. We value these guys as long-term sort of depth players. I mean, you do need some organizational soldiers. You can find those guys. So you shouldn't overvalue those guys. But clearly, to me, in the end, maybe they just didn't want to go there, which is surprising given Toffoli was like 50% retained, known quantity, scores, plays two way. Would, you know, I think previous chemistry with Pettersson, that one does surprise me. It surprised me in the moment. It still surprises me now. But the rest, you know, the they were never going to compete for Gensel given, you know, I mean, obviously it's not a, it's, there's no blow you away element in the Gensel trade. It's a lot of volume. But that's how most of these trades work out, right? Like when you trade the star player, you never get equivalent value back.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing to remember, that in the reaction to all that was like, you know, it's a decent bag of stuff. Could the Canucks have matched that? Maybe, but also they need to think, were they going to be able to re-sign Gensel? Almost certainly not. Yeah. So what do you do? You know, in the summer, maybe you can do something different. Maybe you can sign Tyler Toffoli. Yep. You know, whatever, you do something else in the summer, you think about where you're at, what you need to do. By doing something now might limit you from doing something else.
They kept their flexibility.
Yeah.
They kept their flexibility. Jason Zucker goes to Nashville. I always said it was Zucker. I've heard people say Zucker in recent days. But anyways, Jason Zucker to Nashville from Arizona.
Right.
Nashville, the reason this one matters for the Canucks is obviously, you know, them and a lot of teams were poking around on Zucker. Didn't love his playoff track record, kind of when I looked at it. And thought,
yeah. He's fine. He had a big year last year.
Yep.
But the overall kind of, you know, what the overall of his career has been, you know, he's 32 and he's not getting any younger. And the overall course of his career has been, you know, basically like a 15 to 20 goal scorer. He had a couple of really good years in Minnesota, but basically, you know, he's a guy like, you, since Jim Rutherford traded for him in 2019. He's been a kind of middling guy, you know, 17 goals in essentially 79 games for the Penguins before last year's huge sort of resurgence. But this year, only 9 goals, 51 games for Arizona. Obviously, Arizona's not that great, but they were in the mix for a while. But like, to me, there's a player that is just kind of going the wrong direction. And on the salary he was at, 55.3, I think, million. Like, it wasn't a trade that, it wasn't a trade that I think, and you know, if they could gotten retention, I suppose, but Arizona, every year there's this narrative, oh, they're building for the future. Give me a break. Every trade they make, like Troy Stetcher, no retention on $1 million. Like, he had nothing left on the contract. They wanted all the cash. They want the cash out. You know, you continue to think, how much money does this owner have? Like, what's going on there? There's the business side of how the Coyotes do things. I mean, congrats. They say we're making as much money in our tiny arena as we were in Glendale. Great. Congrats. You're still, it's embarrassing.
It is.
So anyway, that's a total side rant. But in the end, that's why, you know, the Canucks were not going to be able to match that kind of a deal, because in the end, Nashville, who the Canucks may yet play in the playoffs.
That's why I was going to bring them up, as why this deal really matters.
You know, that's why it matters. Have added, you know, a decent depth forward. I don't think he's a game breaker, but
exactly.
Yeah, it's a move that, it's the kind of move that the Canucks could have made. But in the end, Alvin's, as he said, you know, I think their prices just didn't want to pay.
Plenty of reaction and interaction in our YouTube live chat. Looking forward to getting to everybody's, anyone else's. Get them in, folks. Get them in. We're going to read them. Start your comment. For those of you who are new here, start it with a capital A, capital E, colon, ask your question or your comment, and we will read it on air during the anyone else segment, which is coming up in a matter of moments. Okay, the other deals that went down here, I'm just trying to make sure I have this. Yeah, the last one, there's two that I wanted to bring up. This was a report from Kevin Weeks that the Bruins thought they had something with Linus Allmark. There was a deal that he essentially nixed in large part based on geography, and then Frank Saravalli tweeting out that that was to the LA Kings. Yeah. And again, we don't know if it was because of geography. That was Weeks' report. We don't know that. There was a report, but Frank reporting that it was to the LA Kings. There was a trade in place between the Bruins and the LA Kings to get Allmark to LA. And obviously, if you're the Bruins, you're probably going to be only be able to keep one of Allmark and Swayman. So for those asking, why would you trade Allmark right now? You know, you can probably only keep one of those guys beyond this season. And for the Kings, you would trade for Allmark because you have Cam Talbot as your starter.
And if you're the Bruins, that means you're trying to find some cap space to do something else.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the Bruins were in similar position to the Canucks, although not quite as bad because they're not dealing with a, you know, injured player sitting on there.
Yeah. And obviously this one matters for the Canucks because the Kings still don't have a goalie. Yeah. And they're still going to be playing that 1-3-1.
I mean, they're going to be
covering for their goalie.
Honestly, the amazing thing was from the very start of the season, there were people that I talked to around the league that were like, watch out for the Kings if they get a goalie. And the Kings failed that task.
Yep.
Like that's how you fail the deadline, right? People were saying the Canucks would be a wagon if they add another second line winger, right? Or top six winger. Like they truly would be. But no one is saying they will have failed the deadline.
Exactly. Like, that's a great way to put it.
Teams that fail. Like the Canucks, I'm not saying they got like an amazing grade, but they didn't fail. They didn't fail the deadline.
I would give them like a B or B minus when I'm giving them a letter grade for the deadline.
Yeah. Ah, C plus.
Fair enough.
It's average.
We'll have to agree to disagree on the point percentage.
At some point, you have to sit there and you have to realize that you can't give everybody a B. You can't give everybody an A, David.
Someday, you were a teacher.
You have to do the marking. Yeah.
Got my red pen. Okay. Yeah. Was there any other trades that you wanted to bring up that happened around the National? Oh, there was one more. Excuse me. My mistake. The last one that we have to talk about. We briefly touched on it. Thomas Hurdle going to the Vegas Golden Knights.
I went and looked up. It was Doug Wilson signed. It was only 2 years ago that they signed this extension. It blew my mind.
Like before the start of last season. It's not even a full 2 years.
Huge contract that Vegas has committed themselves. But good player. Like, I'm a huge Thomas Hurdle fan.
Yeah. Hurdle and 2/3 go to the Vegas Golden Knights. San Jose picks up a first and David Edstrom.
I don't understand. Like to go back to the earlier question about Greer, now I can sort of see why are they trading third round picks with Thomas Hurdle?
Thank you.
Like, what does that have to do with
it? And we haven't even gotten into the Vanecek trade because it doesn't really matter to Canucks fans. So I don't want to just bring up my personal
grades. So here, help me this. Because I had talked to people over the past couple of years. I remember maybe it's even going back to the bubble playoffs because Kakinen was number three in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And just talking to a few people. And there were people like, they weren't actually. Kakinen was kind of had some hype on him, but there were people kind of like, so I don't know. Like, Vanecek, people kind of like Vanecek. I mean, obviously, wasn't able to carry the load in New Jersey. You know, you're picking up a pick. I don't know. It's not the worst deal in the world.
It's not the worst deal.
It's kind of.
And someone pointed out he got out of that contract. He got out of the Erik Karlsson contract. If you're Mike Greer, those are two okay pieces of business, like good pieces of business. You're creating cap space. But what are you going to go do with that cap space now? That's the big question for me.
Yeah.
Because so far, they haven't really had any sort of direction. Like, they haven't had that level of, okay, there's urgency to rebuild.
Yeah.
I think they might be getting there now, especially with the season they've had.
He's got four first-round picks in the next 2 years.
Yeah. So they're going to be going toward that direction. But
oh, my God. They have almost no money on the books. They got Vlasic, Mario Ferraro, who I know they like. And there was some noise that maybe they trade. Couture on LTI. Interesting. Yeah.
They're an interesting case study.
Yeah. Certainly a lot of pressure's on because they've got a lot to, you know, the pressure's on because they've created some space for themselves. The retained salaries part of their cap's hilarious. You got $1.3875 million for Hurdle for
6 years. Yep, 6 more years.
You got 2.72 on Burns for next season. And then you got Carlson for 3 more years, 1.5. So you got these three, that sort of the stars from the past, like the last era. I'm amazed to see that there isn't some sort of record of Joe Thornton on here.
Joe Thornton, Patrick
Marleau. Patrick Marleau, yeah. Just permanent, you know, on their cap. But
Niemi.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay. That was it for the stuff I wanted to bring up in terms of other moves that were made around the league. Did you have anything else?
No, I like we talked to, yeah, we covered, I mean, the Oilers. The focus to me was looking at nearby. The Jets work, I think, is what stands out to me, because that, you know, you're looking across, I mean, obviously the stars were already really, really tough to talk, you know, they're already really tough to begin with. Went and added Chris Tanev. Stars didn't make a move today either, did they?
No.
No, right? They so, like, not. There's another team that's saying, listen, we've done our work. We like what we have. You know, you look at, you know, if you dare to dream and you look down the road, you're Vancouver Canuck, you start thinking, okay, who might they face in the conference final? And you're looking at the Stars. You're looking at the Jets. Like, the Jets picking up Toffoli was a really great move. Colin Miller as a depth defense was kind of funny, like, it was sort of that era of Canucks coverage, because you went, huh, Colin Miller, left shot? I'm like, right shot. Because there was a time when Colin Miller was a guy that we talked about. Like, oh, that'd be a smart defenseman for the Canucks to pick up. I mean, but that's like 8 years ago, I want to say.
Jim Nill cited Logan Stankoven as basically getting a good trade acquisition.
Poor Danil Klimovich. Nice kid. Just never going to live up to that comparison.
Yeah, so Logan Stankoven is the Dallas Stars deadline acquisition.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I think in the end, you look at the Stars, the way they're set up, the Jets, you know, made them, like, the Jets, such a great example of what Alvin was talking about. You want to add a player that makes you better, but make sure you get the price just right. And they got the price just right. Like, I think that's a pretty fair, like we said, the Canucks would have been happy trading something like that for Toffoli. You even might have been comfortable adding one more little piece, and then you know, but anyway, here they are. The fact that, you know, Edmonton's kind of stood pat where they were, Adam Henrique is a good addition for them, like, there's no doubt about that. Adding our guy Troy, great. I mean, every year, Troy Stetcher becoming a key piece of the deadline, which, you know, I mean, I think he deserves better, but he's a player that teams recognize as being solid, dependable, playoff performer. But they didn't make themselves, you know, they didn't step themselves up a level. They're already obviously a very tough, strong team. You certainly want to avoid them in the first round. But yeah, the way the sort of the rest of the division, the rest of the conference shakes out, you know, other than I'd say Winnipeg and the wagon that the Vegas Golden Knights could be once the playoffs come.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that stand out to me.
If the playoffs started today, the Canucks and Vegas Golden Knights would face off each other in round
one. You ready for that, Dave?
One. I am ready for that.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. You're going to have a lot of watch parties.
Yeah.
That's right. You're going to have a lot of watch parties from the playoffs. Man. All right. Time now for Under the Hood.
Colorado, by the way. Actually, we didn't even talk about the Colorado did their work, I guess, yesterday or the last couple of days. But they added, what, five guys? Yeah. Like, great work there, too.
Middlestat's
a beautiful pickup. Picking up Sean Walker, big Sean Walker guy. I was hoping the Canucks were going to find a way to have Sean Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Just handy, kind of does a lot of things really well. And then, yeah, upgrading their depth, like Trenin. Somebody mentioned me, do you think Canucks would like try Trenin? I'm like, yeah, I think they would. Didn't, you know, and then this is the team they have.
This is the team they have, and they are comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Which actually segues me, we brought up Dallas, segues me pretty well into Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube. Usually Harmon does this segment. I'm taking it over today. And the thing I wanted to focus on was the trades that the Canucks didn't make. Specifically, the ones that did not involve Jonathan Lekaramäki, Tom Ulander, and Elias Pettersson. Three prospects that they really believe in. The model that we've seen used in Dallas that's kept them competitive despite having some bad money on the books, some aging veterans on the books that aren't on great contracts themselves. Those are kind of hand in hand there. Despite that, they've been able to stay afloat, and I hate bringing it up again because we brought it up so many times, but a guy like Wyatt Johnson coming in on an ELC, being a difference maker, that's meant the world to the Dallas Stars. Thomas Harley, same thing on the back end. The Vancouver Canucks are hoping that they can get same sort of production, a top four defenseman and a top six forward in the form of Jonathan Lekaramäki and Tom Ulander. If that happens for this team, Patrick, that is massive for the Canucks, especially during those lean years of the OEL buyout. You go look at that, folks. It gets very dicey for the Canucks in just two seasons. And those are going to be seasons that those players that I just mentioned, I'll throw Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, in there as well, that I just mentioned, those guys will be on entry-level contracts. And it's why you keep guys down in Abbotsford to season, and they come up and they are cheap players for you. You've got Nils Höglander this season. Nils Höglander is probably going to need a raise by the time that OEL buyout comes in, but he's an example of a low-cost, high-value player that the Canucks are going to need, and the Canucks kept their bullets in the chamber at this trade deadline. I like that for them. I thought that was very important.
Good job, Dave.
Thanks. That was Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube, the pioneer of the no-appointment, warranty-approved oil change, now providing appointment-free tire service and sales. Find them at one of their 16 locations across the Lower Mainland. To find your nearest location, visit them online at MrLube.com.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
All right, it's my favorite part of the show. It's the time for the listeners to get involved, because it's time for Anyone Else, presented by DoorDash. It's our say ding dong.
Is this where you ding dong?
What was your question?
Is this where you run out? This is because you run out of questions.
No, we have so many questions.
No,
what
I know.
Talking about?
I'm just saying.
Oh, for you?
No,
yeah,
for yourself.
No, I got lots of questions.
That's great. I'm giving you a hard time.
It's our listeners' chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listeners' chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters, NATION, and the numbers 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms, of course, do apply. Okay, what do we got here?
Can I lead off with Corey Anderson asking about Capser?
Absolutely.
Quote.
Go ahead. I'll read the question. You want to answer it?
Yeah.
Okay. Corey Anderson, the YouTube live chat, does the cap circumvention by Vegas bother you? Obviously talking about the LTIR moves here. Do you think the NHL should amend the rules to make it so teams can't be $20 million over the cap come playoff time?
Corey, I have a question for you. Did you have an issue when your Vancouver Canucks invented this in 2011? Because I don't think you did. So if you didn't have it then you can't have it now. I'm sorry, buddy. No, and it's not cap circumvention. The rules are set up like this. Like, this is teams being smart, using what's available to them to create the team that they can. And listen, if you want to create, I mean, the fact of the matter is 20 years ago, for the kids out there, we didn't care about a salary cap. You just added the team as best you could. Rich teams had more players. I mean, to me, I wish we didn't think about the cap, and we didn't think about cap value at all, and we didn't think about salaries. You used to like just like guys. I like that guy. People are like, oh, how can you like him? He makes all this money. I'm like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But this is the world we live in. We live in a cap world. The rules are set up like this. No, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, you know what blew my mind was watching not your show, another network this morning.
You can say names.
TSN. Okay.
Oh, you can't say that name. Cut it out. Great. I'm just kidding.
Jeff O'Neill stood up, of all people, stood up for, you know, listen, the alternative is having teams not go crazy. We wouldn't have a deadline like this if we didn't have the allowance for flexibility in the roster. You know, that I do get the sort of reactions. Well, I don't like how this feels. Like, that's fine, but consider the alternative that in the end, I mean, the moment you create a limit on how much players can be paid over the course of a season, you are going to create boundaries on what can and can't happen. And so if you create ways to deal with injured players, like how else are you going to deal with an injured player? You can't replace them? Like, what are you going to say? They've assigned a formula some way. There's going to be some kind of thing. You're never going to be able to stop teams from taking advantage of the rules that are in front of them. I think the rules as they're set up are pretty good. Like, the other thing, and I mentioned this the other day, it's actually, like, the quote circumvention is kind of hard. Like, people pointed out Mark Stone 3 years in a row has essentially ended up in LTIR at the same time. It's entirely possible that Mark Stone has a regular procedure he needs done, and they have smartly timed it so that he misses the last couple months of the season.
It also caused them to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, like there is a gamble here, yep. Right?
That gamble's made a lot better when you go out and get Thomas Hurdle.
To their credit, from day one, Vegas has seen, and Jordan McPhee and Callum McCrimmon have gone out and seen how to set their team up, not to burden themselves with problems, right? In the end, the teams that don't do well year after year, the teams that get themselves into trouble. And this actually, funny enough, goes back to the Alvin comment about not wanting to be in LTI. The last regime kept getting stuck and kept compounding their problems because there was no plan. You had to plan. These are the parameters. These are the rules. And so listen, no, it doesn't bother me.
Okay. I'm going to focus on the second part of Corey's question. Do you think the NHL should amend the rules to make it so teams can't be $20 million over the cap? This is something Frank talked to me about. If teams start complaining, like, the rules will get amended.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Roberto Luongo seems to be bothered by this. I brought this up on yesterday's show. He tweeted out the gif of Kevin Nash jumping out of the wheelchair with his leg in a fake cast and saying game one. I'm sorry, Patrick. It does bother me. It doesn't bother me that they're doing it in the sense of they're being smart. I agree with everything you said. That shouldn't be allowed. Like, it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
I think if you're an LTIR, for a certain portion of the year, you're ineligible for the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, that could be, yeah, listen. Like,
that's one way to amend the rule.
That might be,
Or you put a salary cap in the playoffs. Why is there no salary cap in the playoffs?
Because they're not paid.
Well, I guess that's fair. I wasn't expecting
that. I mean, the weird tie-in, it is a weird tie-in, right?
Because here's a take.
Salary cap
pay
numbers.
The players in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, go on.
No, well, they do. They get bonuses. There's league hands out bonuses so based on performance.
The cap's all made up anyways.
Yeah, I know. So let's just get rid of the cap.
I interrupted
That's
you.
That's the solution.
Yeah.
Get rid of the cap.
Okay. We've got a few solutions here on the next show. But it does bother me. I will say it does bother me. I'm not calling it cap circumvention. It's not. It's within the rules, and I agree with everything you said. That, again, when I was 4 years old and the Canucks were doing this, or no, 2011, I was 11 or 12 years old and the Canucks were doing this, I didn't have an issue with it. You're right. You know what I did have an issue with? Addition. Man, that was hard.
Good thing you're the editor of Canucks Army, has sent multiple cap-related people to the NHL. Won't be you.
Well, you don't have to do addition in the NHL.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
To get around LTI, build a team that's got $20 million above the cap.
But you got calculators. Once calculators were introduced, I was fine. Okay. Here we go. We've got a few. Okay, in the same vein. Yeah, Knight Rider is asking, if Mark Stone makes it back for the playoffs, are Vegas finally going to get penalized for the cap shenanigans? If it's game one, like if it's actually game one, okay? If it's actually game one of the playoffs and Mark Stone legitimately makes a miraculous recovery and he's good to go for the playoffs and they've got this crazy roster over the cap, yeah, teams are going to start complaining. I think this is the offseason that teams start complaining.
Maybe.
Is
that a well-sourced information?
No, it's a Luongo tweeted a gif out. And I'm all vibes. You know that.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
That's why I got you to say the Kessel thing. And aren't you glad
David
you
didn't
did?
Even know why he was at the press conference. He was just there to check the vibes.
The vibes were good. The vibes were good. Okay. Yeah. Kurt Hing. If we step back for a second, they could sign Gensel or Toffoli for free this summer. Why give up the assets now? Again, you don't know that. You don't know that. They could sign extensions. Highly doubt Toffoli signs an extension in Winnipeg, so maybe you can go get him there. I agree with you there, the crux of your argument. But again, Gensel, I don't know if that's a fair example, especially given the fact that the Canucks maybe would have traded for Jake Gensel if they thought they could sign him. But you have to think that they probably felt like they were a little bit too far away on that play.
And again, if they hadn't been in LTI.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's the irony of all this, is that, like, to not beat the point to death, but you know, the Canucks have been able to add players during the season, because there is an avenue within the system to deal with legitimate injuries. Now, I get people being frustrated about injuries that don't seem legitimate, or teams manipulating, you know, medical sort of treatment and things like that. But, you know, to me, the real question is sort of that limit that gets placed in season. Like, is there something about the way it's structured in season? The fact that the cap, like, what if the cap ends at the end of the season? What if the cap ended now? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe you need to change it. Maybe you need to change the way the budgeting works so that it looks, it's more, I think the thing that people don't like is that it doesn't seem transparent. I think that's what people most react to. They're kind of like, well, it all seems kind of made up and they're just signing forms and whatever. And, you know, there are questions, and there have been challenges over the years over like some of these designations, because there are doctors involved. And, you know, I think we'd like to think all doctors are equally ethical, but obviously there aren't. Like, some doctors finish at the bottom of the class. So that's kind of what we're dealing with here. And
I made a joke because, I think it was did I make the Sopranos joke to you or Harmon?
I think you make a lot of Sopranos jokes, so maybe remind me which one you're talking
about.
I
can't remember the context of it, but I was like, there's unethical doctors. Haven't you seen Sopranos? I thought it was you that disagreed with that.
I don't remember.
It might have been Harmon.
Dave, there's a lot of things that
have happened. I make a lot of jokes.
Also, there's been a lot of things that happened since I last saw you, you know? Like,
that joke didn't stick with you, clearly.
A few do. And that's not a statement against whether it was good or not.
No, that's okay. It's water off my back. I'm really good at making jokes. So Sinochek said this. When DPD arrives next week, there's a piece of news we haven't gotten into. Elias Pettersson arriving to kind of give Abbotsford a bolster on the blue line there. When he arrives next week, I really hope Canucks social media makes a fun video with the two EPs. Me too.
Well, let me just say, great. I had a quiet discussion with someone involved with Canucks social media, because there was a tweet made the other day, like the sort of meme potential if somehow DPD had been traded to another team, like the meme potential for the other team.
Yeah.
And I had sort of pointed out, oh man, he goes, but we do have a lot of potential here. So I think they're going to try to see.
They'll have something, and I think it's going to be good. They better crush that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, we have more. I want to try to get to ones that aren't repeats of things that we have. Here's one to chew on a little bit, and we're going to wrap this up, folks. But this one from Corey Anderson as well. Do the Canucks make the Lindholm trade if Pettersson were signed earlier in the year?
I think so. I think the thing that we kind of got caught off by was the idea that he was going to play with Pettersson. And I thought they were going to play with him. They tried it and didn't work. I mean, maybe they'll go back to it again. It was interesting seeing how things shook out late last night. I thought, by the way, Lindholm had his best game as a Canuck last night, even though he didn't score. I just thought it in terms of what they needed him to be. And that line overall, I thought Pekulzin was excellent. That line overall was very quality. But Lindholm was brought in to be another sort of two-way top-end presence, because he's been that. Like, you bring in guys to be top end two-way presence lower down. And Lindholm, in the end, they brought him in. Maybe he can play on the same line as Petey. But at worst, he can anchor a third line.
Yes.
Right? And, like, this is what you do when you are going for it. You add players to push other guys down the lineup. And as fun and great as Teddy Bluger had been anchoring that or centering that third line, realistically, he doesn't have the offensive touch that Lindholm does. He is better off as your fourth line center. And it means you can put Pius Suter in other places. You know, like, Pius Suter is a very competent center, could have played out well as third line center. Then he got hurt. You know, things, it's funny how things progress. And then, like, well, no, he's, and like, Suter's look really good as a top six winger, like as a guy, get the puck, grind, upgrade on Phil DiGiuseppe on, you know, I mean, he's been playing with Petey. Maybe Petey and Hoglander and Suter does work as a line. I thought they played pretty well last night as well. Like, a couple smart players. You got Hoglander as your guy who's going to fetch the puck, win the puck in the corner. You got Petey's going to make creative things happen. You're going to have Suter doing smart things around the puck. Like, this is why you add him. So, it's possible, because then you think in a different direction. Maybe, is there a center out there you could have gone and gotten thought long, a bit more long-term? I don't know. That's the challenge. But Lindholm, to me, was the smart pickup. They added him early, you know. We'll see where this goes, but I think as it's set up, and it certainly is something that they, I mean, Alvin brought it up today. It was something Rutherford mentioned to me the other day when I talked to him. The idea of having that top three center. I mean, they had it last year at Horvat. There was that moment where we thought maybe they would progress with all three, but it didn't work out. They've got that top three plus Bluger. Like, that's a pretty nice spine to your lineup to have those centers running the show.
We didn't even talk about last night's game, but one thing I wanted to say was I did think that line was good, that Lindholm line. And I'm just thinking about what it looks like when you have Dakota Joshua back on that line with Elias Lindholm, who is a more proficient offensive center than Teddy Bluger. And theoretically, that bumps Vasily Podkolzin, who I thought has looked good, down to your fourth line, and maybe he becomes
that. Or he takes Mikheyev's spot.
Or he takes Mikheyev's spot, exactly. Maybe he becomes that buzzsaw player, and again, in the context of the fourth line, that Nils Höglander was, that was driving that fourth line and giving them their whole identity. I really like Podkolzin.
I think Podkolzin is a very interesting story. They really needed him. I know that one of the things that Tocchet has highlighted to him was, I mean, it's not no surprise here, but highlighted to him and all, just play your game. And I talked about this. I think I've talked about this before. Did I talk about this on Monday about being the guy?
Yeah. Never been the guy.
He didn't get, you know, it's been 5 years since he's been drafted, since he's been able to be the guy, right? Like, he spent 2 years rotting at the end of the bench in St. Petersburg. Comes over. His coach is fired halfway through the season. They go on this crazy run. A coach who doesn't really know what to do with him in Bruce Boudreau tries to encourage him. He had a pretty good second half under Boudreau. Yep. Comes back. Team's a disaster. Boudreau's the president is fighting with the coach. On and on and on. He gets farmed out and just spends a year trying to kind of get himself back. He becomes a father, like, at age 22. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that would be a big mental challenge, no matter who you are, in a country that you culturally don't know that well. A lot of your family's not here. Obviously, there's all the issues, you know, that there's a lot of things going on involving his homeland. There was a lot of things happened for him last year. And the biggest piece of advice I think he got from Rick Tocchet was just try to be yourself. Don't think about what people want you to be, about this idea of being the sort of low risk depth winger. Play to your instincts. Your instincts got you a long way into this game, and then learn the things you can add on to your game and just learn how to play. Don't think. You think about when Tocchet talks about staples, right? Like, he talks about doing things predictably, doing the same thing every time out, so that when you have the puck, you look up everybody. I mean, I talked to Tyler Myers about this six weeks ago. You know, Tyler said, I said, so it's in the way you look up and the picture's already painted. You know what you're going to be looking at before you even look. And he goes, exactly. You don't have, and that's why Tyler Myers has played better this year.
Yeah.
Guy like him doesn't have to, what's this? What's over there? You know, Ethan Bear mentioned this last year. They started putting into place expectations, you know, and that you just go with it. And so for Podkolzin, like, that was more than anything. He just had to kind of get reattuned to playing like that and knowing that he could do what he was doing, and his teammates would understand what he's doing. And I saw it a couple times last night. He came in on kind of a one-on-three rush. It just happened. Came in confidently. I would have loved to see him tuck his shoulder, kind of turn the corner, see if he can take the net. But instead, he drew three people to him and saw, oh, there's an opening over there. Flipped the puck around behind the net. And, you know, basically, while a line change is happening, and his teammates came and got the puck in the far corner. Yep. You know, and that was the smart, predictable thing to do. They did what he did every time, or he did what they expected him to do every time.
And we heard this from Arsh when Arshdeep Bains was up here.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to step right into this team when the exact same things are being taught down in Abbotsford. Same systems, everything's the exact same down in Abbotsford, albeit at a much slower pace with a lot more broken plays.
Yeah, a little more wild, a little more broken. But the basics, the staples.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And I think you put it really well on Podkolzin in there.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
This was fun.
Always happy to be here.
Yeah. This was a great trade deadline edition of Canucks Conversation, but we're going to sign off. We'll be back on Monday. I think Harmon will be back in studio, but you did a great job
this week. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Filling in for Boy Genius.
That's right.
The money.
And we'll get you back at some point. We'll get you back. But for now, signing off, my name is Dave Petrilli. That is Patrick Johnson. Our technical producer was Grady Sass. This has been Canucks Conversation. With Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now, that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.